Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast.
I know it's been said once before in our church during our services, there's always this like amazing thing about how the songs and the message relate to one another, and Pastor Evan and I don't have any say over what songs get played. The worship team picks those, and somehow the Holy Spirit is able to guide both teams towards making it so that it's the same idea, because today we're talking about hearts, and open the eyes of my heart, Lord, is exactly the prayer that is appropriate for getting into today's message. So we're going to dive into that here right now. So if you got your Bibles, get them out so that you have them. We're going to be looking at lots of different scriptures, but I'm going to have references up on the screen. Hopefully you're able to follow along quickly. If not, don't worry about it. I'm going to read it too, so it's all good. How many of you ever been in a situation where you have something that you own, and it's like important and valuable to you, and it starts to break? And it starts to lose its luster, and it doesn't function the way it once did. And so maybe you say to yourself, well, if I just ignore the problem, there's no problem. Or maybe you are like Red Green. How many of you remember Red Green, right? Okay, like anything could be fixed with duct tape, right? And so maybe you make efforts. Anything can be fixed with duct tape, right? And so maybe you're like, oh, I've got this like broken thing that I love, and I'll just like use duct tape, or I'll try to find some cheap shortcut to make the life last longer in that thing. There's a couple of examples I can think of that come to mind when we try to extend the life of something that's broken, or maybe we just try to ignore the problem. Maybe it doesn't exist. We had a photocopier here at the church. Great big thing, like it was industrial, commercial sized. The idea was like we were going to be able to produce lots of good material with that and really quality stuff, right, for our promotions and things like that. And over the years, it just started to fizzle out. And for a little while, we ignored it. We were just like, well, we can deal with this. It's okay if there's a little smudge in the corner of the paper. It's okay if things bled a little bit. That's okay. And then we tried maybe cheaply trying to fix it using weird methods and super glue at one point, and things that the manufacturer said not to do, things that the instruction manual said, hey, here's what you're supposed to do, and we're like, nah, we can do it better, we can do it cheaper than that, and it just started to go downhill more and more and more until suddenly it ain't any good. I used to have a car. It was a Nissan Rogue. And a real quick story, my wife and I were traveling up to Maine to visit her family, and we were just outside of Fredericton driving when all of a sudden my RPMs just climb up to like 7, and I hadn't even pressed the gas. I was using cruise control, and we're on flat ground, and it's like, this makes no sense. And all of a sudden it drops back down to 0, and we're just coasting. And the accelerator's doing nothing. And we ain't got no gas. It's like, it's not going well. We coasted into Oromocto, had it looked at, and they're like, your transmission died. Right? And so I was like, oh, that's okay. I'll just like cheaply try to fix this. I'll continue to try and drive it with a busted transmission. I had a friend who is a mechanic. We all have friends who are mechanics, right? And so, and he was able to do some cheap super glue kind of fix-its, duct tape kind of fix-its, and it extended the life by a few months, right, Liv? A couple months. And then a few months later, we're right back to where we were before. I'm coasting, and this is not safe, and this is dangerous. Sometimes when we have things in our lives that are broken, ignoring the problem's not going to fix it. Cheap shortcuts are not going to fix it. Eventually, things just need replacing. We see the same issue when it comes to our spiritual lives. We're going to look at a couple of things. First, when we just glance quickly at the history of the Israelites, we see time and time again that they make huge mistakes, huge spiritual mistakes, and it reveals that there's something broken about them that's going on, and they're either ignoring the issues or they're trying to fix the issues of their own strength, and it's not working out. A couple of examples, the patriarchs, guys like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all those guys from the book of Genesis, they are consistent liars. They are consistent deceivers. There's a story of how Jacob tries to fool his father, Isaac, into gaining his brother's inheritance by wearing animals' clothing and trying to fool his father into saying, like, I'm actually the older brother. He had gone blind and he couldn't see, he didn't know, and so he's like, hey, feel my arm. I'm the hairy brother, and so, like, I'm the right one. And so he tricks his father. Abraham lies consistently about his wife Sarah when he is facing dangerous people like Pharaoh, and he's like, oh, that's just my sister. Right? Pharaoh wanted her. And instead of defending his wife and instead of telling the truth and then consequently going to war with Pharaoh, he's like, oh, well, that's just my sister. Here, you have her. It's all good. They were not all good, right? They were consistent liars, consistent deceivers. We jump a couple hundred years later and we see the Israelites through the book of Exodus, and so the story there is that they're in slavery, they're in bondage, God raises up Moses, he goes and sets them free, they cross the Red Sea, and so it's like this amazing story where God is super faithful to this group of people, and then they get into the desert, and they start complaining. They complain to God about food, they complain to God about how everything sucks now. I wish we were back in Egypt. I wish we were back in slavery. At one point, they start worshiping another god. They build this golden calf out of the gold that they had taken with them from Egypt. And they're like, we'll just make a god for ourselves and worship it instead of the God who set us free. Fast forward even later than that, we get to the book of Judges. And one after another, the judges are raised up by God because the Israelites have abandoned God and they start to do what is right in their own eyes. They're doing their own things. They're no longer following the laws of God. And then later we see in the book of Kings how king after king, the Bible records for us, it says, and this king did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And there's different things that they did. Some of them, they sacrificed their own children to other gods. Some of them had sex with their siblings. Some of them committed idolatry. Some of them did horrible, horrible, wicked stuff. And so we can see throughout the entire Old Testament, there is this brokenness within God's people, the Israelites, and there's this brokenness within humanity. And the issue is, like, what is causing this? Why is this continuously happening even within God's people? Where is this brokenness coming from? And then God tells us very plainly that the issue is our heart. We're going to look at several passages here about our broken heart. Our broken heart. We're going to start with Isaiah 64:6. It says, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. We have a broken heart that leads us astray. In Jeremiah 17:9, it says that the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Our heart is deceitful. It causes us to be deceptive. It is beyond cure. There's nothing that we can do to fix it ourselves. We go to the book of Mark, one of the gospel writers recording the times of Jesus, and this is what Jesus says in Mark 7:20-23. Jesus says, what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. From within, out of men's hearts come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. We go to the book of Romans, written by the Apostle Paul, and he says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, he says, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned." You see, it's clear to us that our hearts are so broken, we continue to sin, that it actually leads to our own death. And then in Galatians chapter 5, 17 to 21, it says, "For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want." And then we jump down to verse 21. To verse 19. It says, "The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." Like, it's clear to us through God's word that the issue is not something outside of us that maybe we could try to control. It's not something that's broken that maybe we could fix with spiritual duct tape. It's not something that is outside of our control. It is something that is within us, that is broken within us, and we can't fix it ourselves, and it causes us to do horrible, wicked things. And you don't have to look very far, do we, at our own experience. We have things done to us by other people, or we are guilty of doing other things to other people. We lie. How many of us lie before? Come on, let's be honest, church. How many of us have ever lied? We lie to maybe cover up how we're truly feeling. We lie to get out of something. How many of us have ever stolen? Maybe it wasn't like a bank or anything like serious like that, but we've stolen time and we've stolen things. Some of these I won't ask for your hands to go up, but how many of us have ever cheated, right? Like cheated on a test, cheated on our spouse, cheated on our boss, cheated our workplace, fudged the numbers. Some of us, we lust. We look at someone who is not our spouse and go, "I want me that." Some of us, it's pornography. We are looking at things that we know we shouldn't. Some of us, it's sleeping around. Whether that's before marriage or while you're married or after you're married, and we're just with so many people, we're not committed to one person. Some of us have hatred. Let's be honest, church. How many of us have ever hated a person? Right? Some of you are honest, and that's fantastic. The rest of you, check yourselves. Jesus makes it clear to us, hatred is like murder. That when we have hatred to one person, it is like we are committing murder against that person. Bitterness. How many of us have ever felt bitter towards another person? Maybe it was someone in this church. Maybe it was your pastor. I don't know. We're not perfect. We might invoke that in people. Church, like, let's be honest. We are all guilty. We are all like those filthy rags. Our righteousness is like dirt. Our heart is corrupted. Out of our heart come all these evil things that Jesus and Paul both list. And at the end of the day, all these things lead to our death. This is a big problem. We have a broken heart. And if we look at the Israelites and what happened to them, And if we look at ourselves and ask ourselves, what happens if I continue to live this way? Here's our main point. That if you leave it broken, it will keep causing problems. Like for the Israelites, they had this broken heart that they continued to disobey God, and it led to more and more issues, more and more problems. And for us, like if we have this broken heart, if we leave it broken, we're going to continue to see bitterness. We're going to continue to see lust. We're going to continue to struggle with that addiction. We're going to continue to have hatred. Our marriages are going to continue to have struggles. We're not going to be set free from the issues that we see constantly in our lives because we have this broken heart. And we can either choose to ignore that and just say, "Oh, I'm fine. I don't have a broken heart." Or we can try to make efforts at doing the right things. We learned last week that doesn't really work, that if we're dead, even though we're trying to be good, we're still dead. There needs to be new life breathed into us. If we have a broken heart, we will continue to create problems for ourselves. So what's the solution? Well, the solution's not do it on your own, try and fix it yourself. The issue's not, or the solution's not to ignore it. No, the solution is that we need a new heart. We need a new heart. We need like heart surgery, folks. And the good news found in the Word of God is that there is a provider, that there is a surgeon capable of giving us this new heart. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34. The Lord says this, "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was as a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds, and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more." We see in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, he says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." He's going to do surgery to us. He's going to remove the broken heart out from us and put in its place a new heart that is brand new and capable of obeying his word. When we receive that new heart, we are to put it into practice. And this is what it says in Romans 6, verses 1 through 14, a bit of a longer stretch of scripture. It says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, Do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. And then finally, Galatians 5, 24 to 25. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. God promises us this new heart, and he instructs us that once we've received that new heart, we are to live out our righteousness to him. That photocopier that we had, we didn't just keep trying to fix it ourselves or just ignore the problem. You know what happened to it in the end? Went in the trash. We got a brand new photocopier. It works. For now. But it needed to be replaced. What would have happened if we kept trying to use that broken photocopier? Come on, somebody. Ain't gonna work. No matter what we do, it was not going to work. We need a new photocopier. My car, my Nissan Rogue, which I love so much, if I kept trying to drive it with a broken transmission, am I going to go anywhere? No, I need a new car. It was broken beyond repair. I can't keep the heart I have. I need a new one. I need God to remove the broken heart within me and put within me a new heart, one that he offers us, one that he gives us so that we can obey him. I can't keep the one I have, because if I do, if I keep that broken heart, if I just leave the brokenness, I'm just going to keep seeing problems. In church, I had problems. Like in my life, I was a sinner. I was guilty of so many things. And it wasn't until I had an encounter with Jesus that he gave me that new heart and took away my brokenness so that I would be free from the brokenness that I was living in and the darkness I was living in at the time. We need a new heart. We want to go from being dead to alive. And with a broken heart, we're dead. We're not living the way God wants us. So, what do we do? How do we get this new heart? How do we live this out? How do we practice this out? How do we apply this? I'm going to give you three things. So if you're a note taker, go ahead. Number one, you got to acknowledge that you need a new heart. If you're living in ignorance of the fact that there's brokenness within you, and you're like, you know what, it's okay that I swear, it's okay that I'm cheating, it's okay that I'm lying, and I'm just going to ignore the fact that I'm a broken mess, and it's okay to live that way, don't judge me, only God can judge me. You don't want that, actually. You need to acknowledge you need a new heart. No amount of spiritual duct tape is going to fix you. Your effort to be good, your effort to avoid sin, is not sufficient. You need to know that you need a new heart. And so then number two, you have to receive that new heart that God wants for you. And we do this in two ways, but really it's one way that it's just kind of like at the same time these two things happen. One is we got to repent from our sin. Repentance just simply means to turn away from what we are already doing. Turn away from the path that we're living on. Do a complete 180. We got to change the direction we're living in. We have to acknowledge, God, there are these broken things in me, these sinful things about me, and Lord, I am committing to you that I don't want this anymore, and I want your help, and I'm going to turn away from that, and I'm going to let you empower me to do it. And so we need to surrender to Jesus. And we just got to simply ask him, Lord, give me this new heart that you promise us through your word. I'm turning away, but I'm surrendering to you at the same time. I'm turning away from my sin, and I'm surrendering to your path of obedience. Lord, give me this new heart. And then lastly, number three, as we kind of looked at in Romans and in Galatians, that we need to live out the new heart life. That once you've received that new heart, you got to keep in step with the Spirit. You got to live it out. You got to walk it out. You got to be dead to sin and alive with Christ. You got to allow God's laws to be written on your heart. That means obedience. You need to let God do the necessary heart surgery to let him change you so that you can live out what he wants for you. You got to walk in step with the Spirit. You got to show that there's fruit in your life that demonstrates that you are living the new heart life. The worship team is going to come and lead us in a few songs. And as they come, I just want to like leave you with this thought. Because for some of you, there's probably some resistance in the room. Like, God's not going to give me a new heart. I'm just going to have to deal with the brokenness I have, and I'm going to have to figure this out on my own. I'm just going to have to like work this out on my own. No. He promised in his word to give us a new heart. And he wants to give it to you. You have to surrender. You have to repent if you want that. You have to let him do the work. And so as they lead us in these songs, this is a good time for you to reflect on this, but this is also a good time for you to take that step of obedience, to take that step of repentance, to take that step of surrender. Because if you do, you'll begin to see that instead of having these struggles with sin, that you'll actually live out righteousness as God expects us. That you can be capable of goodness. That the temptations that are in your life that are causing you towards sin can actually lose their power, and you're able to walk away from those things, walk away from the addiction. That the old ways in your life, those patterns, those habits, those things that mess you up, can lose their power and lose their appeal. But if we leave it broken, if we just continue to ignore, if we continue to try and work it out ourselves, if we leave it broken, we're only going to see problems. So Holy Spirit, come and pour out this new heart on us. We pray in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church, and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.